Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas, and thanks so much for listening. Remember, the more you tune in to Get Sleepy, the more effective it will be at putting you to sleep. And you can revisit past episodes on nights when we don't have a new story ready for your ears. So make sure to listen every night on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. There, you'll have the opportunity to vote on what stories you want to hear in upcoming episodes. We are on a mission to help everyone get a good night's rest. And lately, we've been hard at work behind the scenes, preparing something special for all of you wonderful listeners. Be sure that you subscribe and add us on social media to stay in the loop over the next few weeks. Now, tonight's story takes us to a beautiful town on the edge of Lake Garda in Italy. It's a travel tale that's very much inspired by my own visits to this stunning part of the world. But before we begin, make sure you're nice and relaxed, ready to drift off to sleep. Find a comfortable position and begin by taking two or three nice, deep breaths. Where we're going tonight. The sun is warm and invigorating. So as you lay in bed, just imagine a single ray of sunlight. Right now, this ray of light is shining on your feet, melting away any tension and bringing warmth and comfort to your feet. Now watch and feel as that ray of sunlight moves its way up through your ankles, into your calves and shins. It soothes the muscles there too. Now it moves to your upper legs, your waist, and your hips. Now all of the lower half of your body is covered in the warmth of this ray of light. Next, the light moves to your abdomen, your chest, and your back, over the shoulders, and down your arms, into your hands and fingers, soothing all of the tension and making your whole body feel relaxed. Finally, the light washes over your neck, your head, and across your face, warming your skin, melting away any troubles, and helping you to feel calm and sleepy. Your entire body can luxuriate in this glow of light. So take a deep breath and just listen along as I read tonight's story. We begin on a relaxing ferry ride across a crystal blue lake. Rolling hills pass by along the shoreline as the boat's engine softly rumbles beneath your feet. Nestled in the upper western corner of Lake Garda, Limone Salgada boasts some of the most alluring scenery in northern Italy. Many tourists flock here every summer to explore the town and its surroundings, and it's clear to see why. Quaint, narrow streets, attractive architecture and housing, with a medieval look that's been preserved throughout generations. A splendor of restaurants, bars and cafes that serve fresh Italian food and coffee. And stunning panoramic scenery of the lake and the mountains that overlook it. There is plenty of serenity to be found here. Until 1932, there was no road linking Limone to other parts of the lake's circumference. This meant that the town was somewhat cut off and isolated, with the only method of transport to leave or arrive being by boat. Interestingly, the average life expectancy of native residents here is notably high. A remarkable number of people have lived to be over 100 years old. This trait has been accredited to the people here developing a unique protein in their bodies throughout centuries of isolation. The protein is said to help protect the heart and arteries from cardiovascular problems, hence the notably high ratio of centenarians. Nowadays, many visitors arrive by road, navigating through winding country lanes and bustling town centres. Unique tunnels had to be carved through the mountains to link the roads together. They're lined with open arches to the side facing the lake, letting in natural light to guide drivers during the daytime. The route by car offers some stunning sights. However, today you will be arriving just as so many have for centuries before. Cruising on the calm and clear water of Lake Garda, you stand on the upper deck of a small passenger ferry. The water below is a navy blue colour, darkened further in places by the shadows of towering tree-covered mountains. The lake is the largest in Italy, expanding an area that exceeds 350 square kilometers. Although, at your current orientation, it's narrow enough that you can enjoy a clear view of both sides. The morning sun is beaming through light dustings of fluffy white clouds. A soft breeze cools your skin as you lean one arm on a polished silver railing. Your other hand is occupied with keeping your hat firmly secured to your head. This keeps your eyes shaded from sunlight, allowing you to see the spectacle all around. there are many varieties of vessels on the lake. Small rowing boats and pedalos. Medium-sized speedboats with lavish interiors and stylish bows at the front. And about half a dozen passenger ferries, transporting tourists from place to place. There are smiling faces all round. Even the occasional cries of "Ciao" from those passing nearby. It seems that everybody is enjoying their share of paradise on this lake. As the boat draws closer to the harbour, the townscape of Limone becomes more and more vivid. You see the orange-tiled rooftops of houses and buildings. On the promenade, dozens of palm trees and vibrant, colourful flowers line the banks. Faded canopies stretch out over the restaurants that look onto the water. A church bell tower rises above its counterparts. Its weathered, pale green roof is dome-shaped, with a point at the top elevating a small metal crucifix. The charm of this compact town is further enhanced by the extraordinary backdrop of huge rocky cliffs. Climbing steep into the sky with a rumpled terrain, the mountains have a hazy appearance, almost like they aren't even real. As you look ahead, nearing your destination, you take in a nice, deep breath. And as you release the air back out, you feel the warmth of the sun caressing your shoulders. Your muscles are free of tension as you contemplate the idyllic day to come. A few minutes later, the ferry glides into the harbour and pulls in beside a wooden dock. You step off and stroll onto a concrete pavement. All along this stretch of the promenade, beautiful flower arrangements are dotted through the centre of the wide pedestrian walkway. They are layered in a unique cylindrical shape, rising about 8 feet off the ground. Each one looks like a broad column, submerged with a vast array of bright blooms. You spotted the colourful flowers from afar on the lake, and they're even prettier up close. Their sweet, floral scents swirl through the air as you pass them by. Ahead of you, there is a row of shops selling various products. Most notably, they all have beach-themed items outside. You weren't aware of it before, but just beyond the promenade lies a small, sandy beach. A handful of people are already settled here, with towels laid out, soaking up the morning sun. You decide to take a stroll down to the water whilst it's still fairly quiet. You slip off your sandals as you step down onto the beach. The grains of light golden sand feel warm and soft between your toes. They smother your feet and kick up behind you on each step toward the water. Your ears notice the softest sound of waves on the shore that you can ever remember hearing. In comparison to an ocean, the movement of the lake water is minimal. As you reach the lake, you step into the shallow dregs of the small waves. The water is warmer than you expected, but still cool enough that you only let it rise as high as your ankles. It's just the right level to refresh your entire body and spirit. You stand for a while, looking out across Lake Garda. This is one of the narrowest parts of the entire lake, meaning the eastern side is well within view. Most of the opposite scenery is made up of towering mountains covered in dense green forestry. As you glance at the surface of the lake, you can see glimmers of their reflection where the water is particularly calm. It feels like the encompassing mountains are protecting the beauty within, and perhaps even creating a hiding place for the expanse of water. Several people are enjoying a swim a little further out from the shore. To your left, a man and woman, who you expect are locals, stride into the lake and dive under without any hesitation. You're quite impressed by their disregard for the gelidity of the water. A lot of people would prefer the slow and steady approach, although that can be quite uncomfortable in its own right. With your ankles feeling comfortably acclimatized to the water, you gaze back across the lake. Just beyond the group of swimmers, you spot somebody floating upright on top of the lake's surface. You squint your eyes to focus in on the young man. He's pushing himself along with a paddle in his hands. Below his feet is a long, thin board. Following closely behind him are three more paddle boarders. They don't seem quite as competent as their leader, though. One is cautiously propped on their knees, lowering their center of gravity. Meanwhile, behind them, the other two participants are struggling to keep their balance at all. They lean forwards and backwards in an amusing motion akin to a rocking horse, each one waving an arm around wildly to try and stay upright. The moment one seems to steady themselves, the other falls in. You can't help but chuckle as you watch the paddleboarders trying desperately to stay upright. The leader of the group makes it look remarkably easy. He even helps the others get back on their boards, stretching out his paddle for them to use as leverage, whilst flawlessly maintaining his own footing. You smile and close your eyes, leaning your head back gently to feel the sun on your face. A faint breeze rustles your clothing as you listen to the relaxing sounds of the lake. You could spend many hours here, enjoying the sun on the sandy beach. Nonetheless, you have plenty of exploring to do. You open your eyes and wander back over the dry sand. As you climb the steps back up to the promenade, you brush off your feet and slip your sandals back on. The harbour winds around the lake in a semicircle shape. From here, you can see the restaurants dotted all around the promenade. You stroll along the front and peruse the options for your lunch in an hour or two. Already, there are delectable smells permeating the air. Fresh aromas of baked pizza dough, seafood, herbs and garlic fill your nostrils. You sense your belly quietly rumbling as you read the restaurant menus placed on lecterns all along the waterfront. Before you take a break for lunch, however, there is plenty more to discover in the rest of the town. Numerous roads and pathways branch off from the piazza. You wander past a few before turning left onto a quiet, shaded path. On either side, sun-trapped balconies overlook you, sporting yet more vibrant flowers and plants. Each home has a large, dark brown medieval door, heavy and robust. The medieval style has been preserved on the exterior of the majority of houses and buildings. Ahead are a small flight of concrete steps that lead you further from the busy promenade. You notice something special about the street signs and the plaques indicating house numbers. Every one of them has a consistent theme. A white tile base with sky blue writing and the most endearing borders of yellow lemons. They're painted to look like they are hanging from branches around the perimeter of each tile. It is clear that the proud tradition of lemon growing is ingrained in the culture and design of the town. The rustic streets are peaceful, and you savour the opportunity to dwindle amongst the chalky coloured houses. Their exquisite features are fascinating, and many have delightful scatterings of purple bougainvillea climbing the walls and terraces. Some cul-de-sacs are so picturesque that you cannot resist snapping artistic photos to capture the memories. As you continue further up the slopes of the town's narrow roads, you catch a scent of fresh lemon. You wonder where the citric aroma is coming from. To your right is a tall stone wall with a castle-like appearance to its structure. As you step back and try and get a glimpse of the other side, your eyes are met by something unusual. Rows of beige stone pillars stand tall in a precise formation that ascends the sloping hillside. They each support slender wooden beams that stretch from pillar to pillar. You take your camera out to see if you can get a better look, stretching your arm up high and snapping photos with untidy precision. A passerby notices your effort. She approaches you with a friendly smile. "Would you like to see the lemon trees?" she asks. It clicks in your mind. This is one of the region's lemon houses that you've heard about. The kind lady shows you to a gated opening on the opposite wall. Indeed, this is the Castle of Limoni. It was restored by the council in recent decades to once again house lemon trees inside. As you peer through the metal gate, you see row upon row of bountiful lemon trees. They're planted on several levels of flat turf, separated by landscape stretches of low walls. They boast plush, leafy green branches and hundreds of plump, ripening, zesty lemons. This is what you could smell in the nearby streets. The lady, who has lived in Limoni for most of her life, explains the structure that you could see over the wall. Years ago, the cultivation of lemons was crucial to many people living beside Lake Garda. It was an integral part of maintaining the economy for their region. Therefore, in the winter months, when the weather became cold and rain or snow often fell, the gardeners needed to protect their yields. This led to the ingenious design of the lemon houses. The pillars and beams were constructed to support protective wooden struts that could easily be slotted in to cover the trees during the harsher weather. As with many others in the area, the uncovered structure may look like an unfinished greenhouse or possibly an old, derelict factory. But the intentional design, unique to this region, provided multiple generations of locals with abundant lemon crops. Nowadays, the Castle of Limoni doesn't use the temporary covers. Yet, in some of the other preserved lemon houses around the lake, the structures remain in full working use all year round. Your friendly volunteer guide explains that the lemons have been a key food and drink ingredient for a long time in the area. Marmalade, juices, sorbets and cakes all benefit from the fresh citrus fruit. But perhaps most famous of all is the popular liqueur drink, limoncello. The lady tells you that when you visit Limoni, it is customary that you try the famous liqueur. You promise to do just that when you enjoy a spot of lunch by the lake. With that, you thank the kind woman for taking time to share her wisdom with you. She smiles and waves as she meanders up the steep path toward her home. Meanwhile, you have worked up quite the appetite. It's time to wander back down to the harbour and find a place to eat. On your descent toward the waterfront, you pass the church of Saint Benedetto. This is the building with the majestic bell tower that you could see from the ferry. A plaque outside is engraved with the year 1691, dating back to when the church was built. You look up and see a large clock face on the upper section of the tower. The time is approaching 1:30 p.m. You wonder if the bell might ring at 1:30 the hour, reminding the townspeople of the time. You decide to stand for a couple of minutes, surveying the impressive 17th century building. Indeed, when the minute hand reaches the 1/2 hour mark, a metallic chime strikes and echoes through Limoni. Though nowadays, most people have their own clocks, watches or devices to tell the time, it's wonderful that the church bell is still in full use. The early afternoon sun is now at the peak of its daily journey over this part of the world. You mosey back through the shaded lanes, passing shop windows and small bakeries along the way. Eventually, you see a clearing through some buildings ahead. The gleaming sunlight illuminates the lake's gentle, wavy surface. You're not far from the harbour now. On a few buildings and terraces, residents have decorated their homes by hanging small bunches of lemons on railings and window ledges. The vibrant yellows stand out against the pale whites and greys of the exterior walls. You feel a great sense of admiration for the people of Limoni. They seem to take great pride in both the history and the aesthetics of their neighbourhood. This habitual love for their hometown feels like a rare thing in this day and age. It makes for such a safe and welcoming atmosphere. Even more impressive is how the people have integrated the boom of tourism into their community, all without sacrificing the ancestral features that convey such charm and character. Now, you step back out onto the busier promenade. The cafes and gelaterias are abuzz with cheerful visitors. Earlier, you saw a row of restaurants that were particularly appealing. Their outdoor seating areas extended right out onto the water's edge, promising spectacular views of Lake Garda. You make your way there and arrive at a perfect time. You can see that one restaurant has a table spare on its outermost row of seating. A waiter comes to greet you and happily shows you to the table you requested. He hands you the lunch menu and places some fresh ciabatta bread in front of you. To accompany this, a small dish of extra virgin olive oil and balsamic vinegar. A cool bottle of mineral water is also on the table. You twist open the sealed cap and pour yourself a refreshing glass. The water is soothing and cool, swiftly quenching your thirst. The energy you expended exploring all of the sloped streets has left you feeling quite peckish. Therefore, the ciabatta is a welcome appetizer while you browse the menu. You dip it into the olive oil and vinegar, soaking the liquid into the fluffy dough. Nibbling on the crusty bread, you try to decide which delicious option to pick for your main course. A couple on the table next to you are enjoying some fresh pasta. It looks amazing, you think, your heart now set on the pasta dishes. There are so many choices. Spaghetti bolognese, vegetable lasagna, seafood linguine, penne arrabbiata, and plenty more. You eventually settle on your favourite, and the waiter takes your order. There is another passenger ferry pulling into the dock at the opposite side of the harbour. You watch as excited visitors disembark the boat and saunter off in various directions. The beach has become busier since the morning. Some people are lazily sunbathing. Others are enjoying a dip in the shallow parts of the lake. No sign of the paddleboarders this time, though. Lots of visitors are sitting on benches or walls around the promenade, indulging in ice creams and sweet treats. If there is room left after lunch, you may even treat yourself to some delicious Italian gelato. You take your time to sit and enjoy your lunch beside the glorious view. The sun glistens off the water. As boats cruise along, they create gentle ripples in their wake, which flicker and flash in the sunlight. Under the shade of the restaurant's canopy, you enjoy the warm afternoon air. The sounds of water kicking up on the rocks below is like a natural lullaby, evoking calm and tranquility. When you finish your scrumptious meal, the waiter asks if there's anything else you would like. You remember the lady's recommendation by the Lemon House. Try the limoncello. The waiter happily obliges and brings you a small glass of the region's famous drink. As you take your first sip, the flavour is as expected, sharp and citrusy, but there's a pleasant sweetness too. The liquid feels warming on your throat and cleansing on your tongue. You lean back in your chair, enjoying the radiant, relaxing lake view. You draw a deep breath in and release a long, calming breath back out. Your feeling toward this moment is one of gratitude and contentment. You can't think of anywhere you'd rather be. Watching the afternoon go by on Lake Garda, drifting into a state of peace and serenity.